Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. We're going to look at a text as we go through Romans. We're in Romans chapter 7 now, and this is a chapter in the Bible that is used probably more than any other to say that the whole purpose of this program is wrong. So you know I'm going to have some words to say about this. So the purpose of this program is not only to grow your confidence that the Bible is true, but also the ultimate resource for life. And I'm referring to a promise God gives us in Joshua 1:8. He's speaking specifically to Joshua, but the Bible makes clear in many other places in Scripture, including the words of Jesus, that this promise applies to everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ and seek to follow His word in Scripture. So the promise in Joshua 1:8 is, keep this book of the law on your lips always, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. So the more that we can study, meditate, focus on God's word and apply it to our lives, the more successful we will be in life. Now, that doesn't mean making lots of money or having all the things that you want in your sinful heart and saying, well, I want to do this and have this and have all these things. It's not talking about that kind of success. It's talking about having a life that counts, having a life with purpose and meaning and a love and passion for life, living with no regrets, living the way God has designed you to live. So specifically, that passage says, keep this book of the law on your lips always. And for Joshua, that meant the first five books of the Bible. That's all that had been written at the time. That meant what we refer to throughout the Bible as the books of the law, the law. And Jesus affirmed that we are to follow the law. He says, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. And then Jesus emphasizes things about how God's law, God's commands guide us to right thinking, to right behavior so that we can be successful in life. He closes his great sermon with the man who built his house on the rock, which is the man who is delighting in the law of God. However, many Christians look at Romans 7 and they say, God has done away with the law. We don't need to think about the law or be concerned about following the law or meditating on the law anymore, because we are in the New Testament, so the Old Testament is no longer authoritative over our life, is no longer something we go to for instruction. It has interesting background material, maybe. It has interesting stories. It tells us how we got the New Testament. But what really matters is the New Testament. And even the New Testament quotes over and over again from the Old Testament, so even much of the New Testament is rendered obsolete in the view of many Christians who, I believe, do not understand Romans 7 properly. So we've looked at Romans 1 through 6 briefly. We've gone through a number of key passages. Let's focus in on Romans 7. So what is it that is not understood? Let me begin reading at the beginning of the chapter. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. Now here's the key verse. Where is Paul going with this illustration? Well, he says, so, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. The key phrase in this verse is, you also died to the law. And so the interpretation goes, see, the law, the Old Testament commands or you know, even the broader body of laws in the Bible, we've died to that. And it's interpreted almost to say it is dead, it is over, it is done away with. And now we have Christ. Now we have grace. In other words, we looked at this verse last week. It says in Romans 6, verse 14, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." The illustration is, think about marriage. If you marry, if a wife marries a husband, the law, "You shall not commit adultery," is in place. She is bound to that law. She must follow that law as long as her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she now no longer has to follow the law, "Do not commit adultery." It's irrelevant to her. She is free to marry another man without committing adultery. Why? Because the law, "Do not commit adultery," was a law that said, as long as your husband shall live. So now that your husband's no longer living, you're not bound by that law. That law doesn't directly rule over you. It doesn't apply to you because your husband has died. And Paul says, in the same way, you've been released from the law. You've died to the law through the death of Christ. And in his resurrection, this is the language that runs throughout Romans 6, 7, and 8. Through his resurrection, you belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that you might bear fruit for God. So now you have a new life in God, a new relationship with God. Now, what are we to make of this argument? Has the law died? Well, it all depends on what law you're talking about. Paul uses the word law in different ways. And as I'm going to explain as we go through Romans 7 this week, Paul is not talking about God's law in Romans 7. He's not saying God's law is dead and done away with, or that we don't have any benefit from studying and applying God's law to our life. He's not saying that at all. In fact, he clearly states that's not what he's saying over and over again in these chapters. So you can pull this one verse out of context, "You also died to the law through the body of Christ," and you can tell yourself, oh, he's talking about God's law, the Torah. He's talking about the first five books of the law, or he's talking about the Ten Commandments, or he's talking about the broader body of teachings in the Bible, both Old Testament and then the New Testament reflections on that. That's all done away with. But that's not the kind of law that Paul is talking about here. And you can begin to see this just by looking at the context. Remember, Paul twice has asked this question in Romans 6, "What shall we say then?" In Romans 6, 1, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" By no means. Paul says, don't ever get the idea I'm saying you can go on sinning as a Christian. And that means to live in a pattern of sin, under bondage to sin, where you're not repenting and turning from sin. Paul never says you can be perfect as a Christian. But Paul is saying, don't think that you can be comfortable with sin and embrace a lifestyle with sin. No, you've got a Christian is turning from sin, is growing in holiness, is working to apply the things taught in God's law in their life. He repeats the question, Romans 6, 15, what then, or he, in a slightly different way, but basically he comes back to this "don't misunderstand me" kind of question in Romans 6, 15. He says, "What then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means." Now, whatever Paul is saying in Romans 7, he's not saying that we are free to disregard the law and do whatever we want and sin. Because from a Jewish perspective, sin is breaking the law. And Paul emphasizes as strongly as he can that a Christian is not now free to sin, meaning a Christian is going to desire and is going to have the capability of embracing God's law, of following God's law, of applying God's law. So I'll come back and address the specific things going on in Romans 7 next time. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.